George from Ireland. Here I'm in the Bluebell Railway Museum in Sussex. You can see the old-style timetable behind me. So railway line was opened here in 1877 after an Act of Parliament, and it went through Lord Sheffield's estate. Lord Sheffield's estate was nowhere near Yorkshire, and it was within half a mile of his house, this station. Anyway, it was closed to mainline traffic in 1958. Volunteers in 1960 got it going as a heritage railway, even though the technology was only slightly old by 1960. They were closing down railways, the Beeching Report was coming in. Dr. Beeching recommended closing about two-thirds of the railway stations in the United Kingdom. Now there are roughly 2,500 of them, I can't remember how many miles of track. It used to be a lot more. Anyway, this was kept. Look at the old style, the typewriter, ways of printing the tickets and so on. No online tickets. There were no screens on the platforms, not till the late 90s, telling when trains were arriving and leaving. Are they delayed? Are they cancelled? Had to listen to announcements or whatever. But then even when they got those announcements, you see the old style aesthetic. Okay, all those signs, a different livery of the railway men, and I suppose a few railway women. We wouldn't even say railway men these days. What else? There was this quaint rocking motion going along, so it was a sensory experience. Also, the smell of the smoke from the coal they're burning, the steam and so forth. Feeling the different texture of these seats, the way on the first class one there's only one door in, so there's one door on either side directly onto the platform. So this goes 11 miles, goes quite slowly. Takes them a while to pick up speed. So there's won all sorts of awards for heritage railways. Yeah, I'm trying not to get more people in the frame. People really want to come in here, was lit, but they barred the windows. So it's known as the Bluebell railway line. So local landowners behind developing it in 1877. So the Lewiston East Grinstead Railway. It also connected to the London, Brighton and South Coast Railway. Brighton for your dirty weekend. Anyway, so there's all of this farm traffic taking sheep to market and so on. So 1958, they're going to close the line. 1959, a local meeting to manage to save it, and they did. So mostly volunteers, unpaid, are doing this. They've got a collection of lots of old-style locomotives. There was a Caledonian sleeper as well. And look at the volunteers, look at the uniforms they're wearing. Okay, and look, this Thomas the Tank Engine, special events on Remembrance Day, Santa Claus, some sort of musical weekend. I don't understand how that works, okay? So a railway enthusiast's dream. I don't know that much about railways. So there are a few other heritage railways around. It's using a film set a lot. So of course, this year is the bicentenary of the train. There was rail in a sense in 1604, as in rails for horse-drawn carriages to make them go faster. There were wooden rails and then metal rails and so on. So it was George Stephenson, the idea of putting a steam engine on rails, because steam engines went on roads, were very, very slow, two miles an hour, certain walking pace, but very, very strong, very, very heavy loads. So there was a railway contract for the Kington Railway in Herefordshire, and then the Stockton to Darlington Railway in northeast England, 1825, use of wrought iron and this fish-bellied railway, okay, with stone blocks. Anyway, so then it developed from that. The Great Western began in 1835 from London to Western England. So George Stephenson, the famous railway engineer, and then his son, also George Stephenson, came after him. And then Robert Stephenson, another relative, is a civil engineer who built the Britannia Bridge across the Menai Strait to connect Anglesey to Great Britain. Okay, so that's it. They've got lots of exhibits here. How about that? Love the old style posters. And then these stained glass windows showing heroes of the Industrial Revolution, the age of steam. Look, Mark Sambart Brunel, son of Isambard King of Brunel, James Watt, and so on. George Stephenson, the elder, is George Stephenson, the younger. Okay, so locomotives, they call it. That's the building that actually pulls the train, and then you can see them here. So they've got their boiler there, that to boil the water, rise the steam, turn the turbines, pump the pistons, makes the wheels go, same principle steamships, and there are lots of things in factories like that. So there we go, you get to see what it's like. A very extensive railway museum. Wow, look at the collections, all those models like that. Okay, and then you can get special themed China pewter mugs. Wouldn't be my bag. And then often there were boat trains. This is a train, so it would take you to the harbour and catch the ferry to France, in particular to Jersey, from Ireland to Great Britain, from Great Britain to Ireland, and so forth. So it was really transformative. And Napoleon thought, wouldn't it be good if we had something to make it a bit faster? But that didn't happen. Okay, look at the uniforms. And that's when we developed standardized time, because there was a village clock and they would set the time according to the sun. But the timetables make any sense. We all had to agree on what time it was. Because in the old days of stagecoach, you step off your horse-drawn carriage and you ask the local people what the time is, you set your watch and chain. Now look at the signal box in there. You set your watch and chain. But because the horse-drawn carriages, they couldn't predict with much accuracy when they're going to arrive. I mean, how fast were the horses? And, were they strong? Were they weak? Were they tired? Were they fresh? And what was the weather like? Is it hot, cold, windy, rainy? And how many passengers are they carrying? That's going to affect the speed. But with railways, you can tell to the minute. And obviously, punctuality and coordination is vital. It's not going to have a crash in the line. So therefore, they had to standardize all these things, have Greenwich Mean Time. And there was also international travel, set up time zones, because people taking the train from one country to another, taking the steamship from one country to another, and for the first time they could predict how long a sea voyage was going to take with some accuracy, obviously not bang on accuracy. So that's it. Crucial in wartime for transporting munitions and troops, child evacuees, and so on, from this country, from the kinder transport, and so forth. So there were various classes up to that, to three classes in those days, and you can see how they crisscrossed everywhere. It was British Rail from 1948 to the early 1990s, completely sold off by May 1977 when Tony Blair's new Labour government came in, and now this current Labour government started Great British Railways again. I don't know they're going to call it that in Northern Ireland because a lot of population would take exception. Moreover, Great Britain is this island here. It's not the whole United Kingdom. Look, so Pullman famously developed these luxury coaches, and in Romania they even just simply called Pullman because of that. Look at this Royal Coat of Arms, two supporters, these lions. Okay, so you get an idea what it's like advertising Hovis bread up there. What I was going to point out is these days we have these screens giving you updates about train arrivals and departures and so forth, but obviously technology was much more primitive. Step out onto the railway platform.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Welcome to Newbury Railway. Next service to depart from this station will be the 2:15 service to East Grinton. That will be from platform number 2. That's the 2:15 service to East Grinton.
Well worth visiting. Yeah, the only place a little bit like I've been to is Didcot, but the train doesn't go any significant distance. But there are more people explaining things. It's much more interactive. It has got more trains, but they're not actually taking you anywhere. Okay? So, yeah. The United Kingdom was obviously the world leader in railway technology, the inventor of it. Girded the world in iron. British navvies, engineers, building it all over the world. Not so much the navvies, usually local labourers employed. But obviously railways now, ferociously expensive. Quite often later cancelled. You see how things have got much, much worse. Some of the most expensive in the world, by no means the best. And they said these could be named after people. Look, Captain Peter Mainsty RN is in Royal Navy. All right, thank you very much for watching. Please subscribe to my channel. That would be warmly appreciated. And it would help the channel to grow an awful lot. And recommend it to a friend. Please donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Because I urgently need the channel to be funded, to sustain it, and I cordially suggest that you come here and pay a visit to the Bluebell Railway. Take a journey on one of these. You have to lean in to lift it up. For a bit of added realism, they should have mostly smoking carriages. And they probably all put non-smoking. Because if simply out of historical curiosity, you put smoking, some people might actually try it. So there we go. Okay, right. So that's everybody. That's it. I think the locomotive's on the other side, but I can see it smoking from a distance. So even the way they've stenciled in the names of the stations and so forth looks rather different. All the old world technology. Just to think, obviously, 2025 technology, a century from now, that will seem just as quaint and fascinating. It'll be just as antiquated as this now. The modern age, well, modernity keeps changing as it's ever advancing. And I can remember the early 90s when it wasn't that different, when things a bit on from this, a generation of this were being retired. Like these ones here, the old British Rail symbol there. And then you can get some luxury service. So new tea and coffee, buffet car in there. And that's why, look at this. Deliveried waiter, traveling in style. What do you think? Okay. Some very, very expensive long distance journeys you can take like that. Okay, so I can't go any further than this. You see, there it is. Right, thank you everybody. It's been most enjoyable. Scintillating for me to see all this. I'm getting the fragrance of it. Not unpleasant, but I wouldn't want to be around it every day. That's why the roofs were very, very high at the old tower stations, so the steam and the smoke would rise, not be trapped at head level. I might go over the bridge and then give you a view from way up high. And although it's a very overcast day, perhaps surprising considering it's August, but I don't mind over much. No air conditioning on these ones. The guard, okay, and luggage. And once coming down from York, did we have to put our bags in the luggage department? Because people had big suitcases, big school party, because that would clog up the passenger cars. And the other thing is, the idea is they probably had alcohol with them, these pupils, so separate them from their alcohol. So what are these curious shapes on the roof of the carriages? And then we look back over there. Of course, he's filling up with water. If he's going to boil water, has to fill up with water. Because they run out of water for the steam train, had to fill up with coal so often. So in some old style railway stations, you'll still see these huge high water tanks, and that's why. And look how big the railway station is. The upper floor, so what do they use the upper floor for? And then over there, they got the steam works for inspecting and repairing the locomotives and the carriages. Right, okay, that's all from me. Goodbye, everyone.